Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Yeah, I got several calls and texts from state agencies about the photograph on Facebook. I didn't know how to answer it.
I'm glad you didn't. I'll handle it.
You better. I mean, don't you think it would be actually kind of a big deal if you could wash your car right now? I mean, like where it's just water and a sponge.
It would, yeah. That'd be helpful, yeah. Too.
I mean, instead of power tools? All right, today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. It is all at Purdy Insurance. They're the best of the business. And you need insurance more than ever. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They're the best, and they care. They're just great pros. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. All right. Let's get to our play-by-play call of the day. Kyle Schwarmer, not enamored with Angel Hernandez.
Here it comes. Called strike three, and Schwarmer is thrown out of the game, and he had zero issue with getting thrown out, making it very clear you've missed him inside, outside, up and down. Kyle Schwarber thrown out after being punched out by Angel Hernandez, and Joe may go too.
At home, you know, I don't care if you're a Brewer fan, a Philly fan, a baseball fan, period, if you're not, this right here is where it's been all night. Inconsistent. Frustrating for the hitters. The score dictates it. When you have a nasty guy like Josh Hader on the mound, everything that Kyle Schwarber is showing right there, he's not air traffic control right there.
I'm surprised it took this long for somebody to have that kind of an outburst.
Once again, more Philadelphia anger on display. This after a weekend where Yankee fans toss garbage. I mean, it's really, you know, it's like all the teams that you're associated with, it's just bad. I mean, I don't understand what problem they have with Angel Hernandez. Sure, it was maybe 6.5 inches outside. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, just a bit outside.
Sure, it may have missed.
And then the one strike to Gene Segura was just a little inside, you know, but that's okay. We're going to get rid of this problem soon anyway with the automated balls and strikes.
I hope not. I don't want that. I'm sorry. I don't want that. The game is managed by humans. They do great things. They make mistakes. The game is played by humans. They make great plays. They also make mistakes. Umpires are expected to be perfect all the time, but no. Ask yourself, how many times have you gone online, and when you've gone online to order something or something like that, and the order got screwed up? I thought machines were supposed to be perfect. They aren't. I'd rather have humans doing it. That's just me. Now, maybe you want the automated whatever. I'd rather have humans. Joel Embiid has ligament damage in his thumb. He needs surgery. He is going to be playing for the Sixers right to the end. Guess who's not playing for the Nets tonight?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
And now I'm only stating as a fact. He needs surgery. He's going to play. The other guy, I have back tightness, which, of course, normally back tightness brings with it unimpressive x-rays. Oh, well. I'm just telling you what the deal is. All right, let's get to the NFL draft. Let's find out what mistakes the Eagles are going to make here. Was that your team? That's your team, right?
That is my team.
Oh, man. Whew, you got a problem. they got Howie Roseman did a really good job in reality of balancing out the two drafts. Instead of three picks this year, one next year, he's got two this year, two next year. Now they need to take advantage of it. Steelers have one pick in the first round. And Ryan Roberts joins us from the Believe Draft Network. Great to have you with us. Not the inability to... Okay, if you hit the buttons on the phone... Okay.
No, we got disconnected. I gotta fix it.
I mean, you hit the buttons on the phone. And you start with a one, then the area code.
Right.
Then
yes.
you mix in the other seven in some sort of order.
Yeah.
The problem is every time I ask you to call a guest, right, you end up on some Amazon hotline. I don't understand. It's almost like it's automatic with you. Well, let us know when you have him.
Yes. I'm going to call him right now.
Good. You do that. And we'll talk to him about the draft. And we'll get into the Steelers first. Then we'll get to what the Eagles are going to do. And then get into a couple of Penn State players. This is as unpredictable a draft as I've seen in a long time. And part of the unpredictability of it is there is not any clear 1, 2, 3, 4. You don't have a Trevor Lawrence at the front of it that's a clear one. You don't have at the front of it an Andrew Luck followed by an RG3. I mean, there's a lot of drafts that have some predictability and, quote, some draft sexiness to it, such as quarterbacks and, you know, wide receivers and things like that. You know, that'll be at the front. There's a lot of offensive linemen, defensive linemen that are at the front of this thing. That take away the. It's going to be interesting to see what the ratings on this draft happen to be. That's going to be really interesting to see what the ratings are on this, because it's one of those very functional drafts. It's a very functional.
Hello,
draft.
Ryan. Great to have you back.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me back.
Okay. Well, we'll start with the let's start with the local teams. We'll start with the Steelers and the Eagles, and then we'll branch out from there. So we'll start with the Steelers. Where do you think they might go with this pick? And what I think is about as unpredictable a draft as I've seen in a while.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. This is a draft where, I mean, mock drafts kind of just get thrown out the window a little more than usual. I personally think, and I was talking with, you know, off the air a little bit, I think it's going to be a quarterback, man. I really do. I know there's a couple different ways that they potentially could go. I think upgrading the offensive line is always a good spot. If one of the tackles maybe falls into your lap, or you want to move up a couple spots to, you know, if the Trolls cross is falling out of Mississippi State, like that type of conversation. Wide receiver was a position that we talked a little bit off air, but I think it's going to be quarterback. Which one it is going to be a fascinating question, because I do think that Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett are probably off the board. Is the Pittsburgh, if they're sitting there at 20 and there's a Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati staring you in the face, are you comfortable with him? I personally wouldn't, but, like, I don't know. I just get vibes that I feel like the Steelers just have not – they've not hit their hand well in this conversation. Like, they want a quarterback, even with Mitchell Trubisky in the conversation now. I think they want a long-term answer, and it just really depends on if the guy that's on the board is somebody they really like, because I just don't know if they're going to get up high enough to get Malik Willis. I feel like number 6 to Carolina is a very likely destination, but I do think quarterback is definitely in the card in the first round.
All right, so if it's – no offense, if it says Ritter, I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I mean, I was just, again, talking off air a little bit. I graded him out as a late third round player.
Yeah, he's not a first round pick.
He's not. But this I mean, but we see this every single year with how the NFL makes mistakes at the quarterback position. They have their criteria: 6'3 plus, 4-year starter, athleticism, arm strength, and Desmond Ridder does check those boxes. Now, those boxes don't also tell you that if you watch any game. I mean, I was live at the Notre Dame game when they actually beat Notre Dame in South Bend.
Yeah.
I mean, he's sailing 5-yard outs on like almost every other throw, man. Like, he's just not the accuracy is just not consistent. Doesn't get through his reads very quickly, and for a 4-year starter, like you get to a little bit of a delay there where you're just like, all right, if the internal clock is not moving faster after 4 years, is it ever going to move any faster? You know, and like there's things that can obviously be improved, but I just think that when you're talking about what the NFL always does, when the guys have those criteria, they end up going early. That's why Jake Locker went on number 8 overall. That's why Christian Ponder gets drafted 12. That's why EJ Manuel gets drafted 15. Like, it happens every single year, and I think teams are going to make the same mistake again.
Well, I always say there's two drafts. There's the actual draft of 1 through 64, and then there's the quarterback draft. That's the draft within the draft that kind of jumbles the 1 through 64, because, I mean, these guys aren't among the top 50 picks. I mean, if you're doing it 1 through 50, they're in one of them. I mean, Kenny Pickett, 37. You know, we talk about hand size, 37 fumbles. Now, he didn't lose them all, but that's an average of 9 a year. Not
well,
small.
Well, I mean, I'll give you another one. I mean, even with obviously Pickett with the hand size and the high 30 fumbles, Desmond Ridder actually had one more, I think, than Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, he had 38.
So even a guy that, yes. So, I mean, he's had his own, you know, ball security issues, because people just look at the interception number, like, oh, you know, Desmond Ridder never really threw that many interceptions, but he also fumbled 38 times. So, like, those are the ball security things. So I agree with you, though. Just to your quick premise, like, I'm going to have a top 50 or top 100 board that's going to drop probably the day before the draft. I think I have one quarterback in the top 50, maybe, when it finally stacks up. It's not a good quarterback class, and that's why this year it seems more than any other year that I can remember, people are just not as interested in the draft because there's just not the quarterbacks up top, man. Yeah. Like, this is a slightly reminiscent to 2015 when EJ Manuel came out. Like, there was the same thing that year where people were just, like, not locked into the draft. They weren't locked into the draft because there just wasn't a shiny quarterback at the top. It just seems very reminiscent of that year.
I remember when Nassib was coming out of Syracuse. His brother Carl, of course, was playing here at Penn State at the time. And it's like, oh, yeah. Nassib. And they keep passing on him. Or they're passing on him for a reason. Okay. All right, I'll give you this one. Why not a wideout? There are lots of really great wideouts and a couple that can really take the top off. I'm not going to say there's a Jamar Chase in here, but there's some guys that are close to being in that category and the depth of them. Why not that for the Steelers?
I mean, I think it's fair if they wanted to go that way at pick 20. I think that is a reasonable way to go. I think the issue there is, though, that I think that wide receiver run is going to start probably at pick 8 to Atlanta, if not pick 10 to New York Jets. The top couple guys might already be off the board at pick 20. So, I mean, Garrett Wilson's a guy that I love. He's my top wide receiver in the draft out of Ohio State.
Yeah,
I think he's probably gone, though.
Yeah, that's a good guy to pick up, too, because obviously I saw a lot of Garrett Wilson in his career, so.
Yeah, no, he's a fantastic player. I think he's going to be gone. I think Drake London's going to be gone from USC. Those are probably the top two off the board, in my opinion. Then after that, it's Jameson Williams coming off the injury. I think he's probably a top of 20 pick still, just because of the dynamic ability he brings. So if Pittsburgh's sitting there at 20 and they feel good about a guy like a Treylon Burks, for instance, who's, you know, kind of similar to he's a bigger, stronger version than Juju Smith-Schuster, but like similar role as kind of a big slot. So if that's where they want to go, I get it. But I do think that it is a tremendous wide receiver class, especially in depth. So I just think offensive tackle quarterback is probably where Pittsburgh's going to look. You know, because those are just a little bit of more paramount positions, typically how teams are built.
And it's interesting because I saw a lot of Burks tape because I was getting ready for the Outback Bowl. And if you give me a choice, I think he's really good, but I think Chris Olave of Ohio State and Jahan Dotson of Penn State are better players, especially at the NFL level. But that's just me.
No, don't disagree.
Now let's get to the Philadelphia Eagles. They have two picks, and Howie Roseman did deal one of – he had three of them, but he dealt one because I think that's smart. You want to balance it off, two this year, two next year. I got it. So what do you think the Eagles do with their two picks?
Yeah, I think a lot of people were talking about wide receiver. They drafted wide receiver back-to-back years, though, you know, with Jalen Reagor and then obviously Devonta Smith last year. Do you go back to the well? I think with multiple first-round picks, it's possible, so they might be a sneaky team. If Jameson Williams falls to number 15 or Drake London or any of those top three receivers I mentioned, if any of them are staring at them at 15, I think it's pretty likely that, you know, the Eagles would at least entertain the conversation, despite, you know, obviously using a lot of capital recently on wide receiver. And I think cornerback is another huge thing. Right now, you don't have a corner opposite of Darius Slay. Like, Steven Nelson is not on the roster. I know he's still kind of, you know, sitting out there in free agency, so maybe you bring him back for another year. But if there's a guy like a Andrew Booth Jr. that you really like out of Clemson, or even Trent McDuffie out of Washington, like somebody in that style, I think you entertain those types of guys as well. I know people are talking about defensive end. Mm-hmm. Possible. George Karlaftis is out there, maybe out of Purdue, because, I mean, you have obviously Hassan Reddick, who's more of a, you know, he's kind of a hybrid linebacker, defensive end type, but you don't really have the true guy. I mean, because Brandon Graham's coming back, 34 years old, coming off an Achilles. Are you going to depend on him long term? You got Derek Barnett, who had more flags than sacks last year. Are you going to depend on him, you know, being a guy? Is Josh Sweat a guy that you want in every single down? So those are a couple of ways I think they could go. Everybody's always going to scream for linebacker, and I get it, but I mean the stats already always turn out there, right? Like, the Eagles just have not drafted a linebacker in the first round since 1979, so I don't expect that one to happen. But I would think it'd be some combination of defensive end, pass rusher, wide receiver, cornerback. Two of those three, I think, is kind of the spots.
Ryan, how do you view the top of the draft? Like, the first five picks, what do you think? I mean, because it's interesting, because when you're trying to get a read on Trent Baalke, people are trying to get a read on what he did in other organizations. That's why, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Walker lately from Georgia and not Hutchinson from Michigan, because of the style of play a player has to be. How do you view the top of the draft?
I mean, it's pretty weak, to be honest. I mean, I think Kyle Hamilton's a fantastic player. He's not going to end up being a top five pick because he plays a safety position and he ran the 4.59 in the 40, so people are overthinking him a little bit, and he's just not going to be a guy that's going to be drafted there. I think that the defensive ends up top. Kayvon Thibodeau, I think, in most years is a top 10 type of player. But, I mean, I've been very consistent on this, but I think Aiden Hutchinson in a traditional year is a mid-first-round pick. I think Trayvon Walker in a traditional year is a mid-first-round pick with a high upside. I mean, he has all the tools in the world to be a very good player, but it's just not very tangible right now. You know, he has day two film with top 10 upside as far as his athletic traits. So I think it's somewhere in between as far as where he lands. But, I mean, I don't think that it's a great year to have a top five, top 10 pick. I just really don't. I think this is the year where the Kansas City Chiefs make a lot of value because they have 12 picks. And although it's not a high first round pick, obviously, you know, sitting there at the late 20s, the fact that they have volume in this class, because I mean, I talked to an agent a couple weeks ago that basically told me last year's class had about 650 players that were draft eligible that could be drafted. Mm-hmm. This year, it's three times that number. It's almost 2,000 players this year. So the volume of players in this class, I think, is where you're going to win. You want a lot of picks this year. You don't necessarily want high picks.
Jack Hamm and I were leaving the booth on Saturday after broadcasting the Blue-White game. We were talking about the safeties. He looked at me and said, the Hamiltons. Neither one of them really saw a lot of Kyle Hamilton, because obviously, you know, we're trying to do our own game. And he said, boy, Hamilton must be really good because we know how good Brisker is. So give me a rundown of Hamilton and Brisker and your thoughts on those two safeties.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great safety draft just in general. For me, Kyle Hamilton, I think, is the closest thing that you could say resembles a generational type player just from his size profile. I mean, there's just not many safeties historically. They're 6'4 and an eighth, 220 pounds with 34-inch arms. Like, those guys just don't really come around very often. I mean, you're going to have to start talking about guys like Kenny Easley back in the day and Steve Atwater and Sean Taylor. Like, those are the guys that kind of fit that similar size profile, right? So, like, when you're talking comparison-wise, those are the guys that you have to talk about, because there's just not a lot of Kyle Hamiltons that come around every so often. And the great thing about him is that size, you would just traditionally sense, like, wow, that guy's probably going to play near the line of scrimmage. He's going to play in the box. I mean, in 2020, anyway, 55% of his snaps were spent playing single high free safety at that size. Yeah. So he's a different cat, man. Like, he is a tremendous athlete, and he covers a lot of ground. I think he's, you know, and again, without positional value put into the conversation, I think he's the best player in the draft, just because I think he's the only player that I would say is rare in this class. Like, I think he's a rare football player, and people are kind of overthinking him a little bit because of the position he plays. Brisker's a guy, for me, to talk about him a lot this process, I wasn't the biggest fan of the summer. I really wasn't, and I have done a complete 180 on Brisker, man. He's my second-ranked safety in this class. I love Jaquan Brisker. Yep. He reminds me a lot of Adrian Amos, that has been a really good player in the NFL.
Yep.
Kind of a really versatile player. You know, Adrian was a good athlete, obviously, as well.
Yep.
But he's not, like, I wouldn't really call him a true free, a true strong. I would just call him a versatile player. Like, he can play a little bit of both spots. He can play, you know, from the roof, play in center field, come down in the box, even play some man-to-man. I mean, I know Brisker came into Penn State, I believe, traditionally as a cornerback recruit, so I think you see a lot of those really smooth transitions, can play some man coverage. But then also, I think the big thing with him this year is I thought he just went from to be a very proactive football player. Great eyes, just always seemed to be in the right spot. So he's one of the big guys in this class, and definitely the safety position, where wasn't the biggest fan in the summer, and then I left this final evaluation. I'm like, this is a early second round player for me, and I wouldn't be surprised if somebody takes him in the late first round, because I think he's a tremendous football player.
Yeah, he really is, Ryan. That's good analysis, because I mean, Jack and I felt he really helped himself by coming back. He's one of those guys who really did. I'll give you one more, and then I'll let you go. And that's Arnold Ebiketie, the defensive end. He transferred in from Temple, put together some really terrific games for Penn State, which, of course, means great tape as well. Your thoughts on Ebiketie?
Yeah, he's a player that I got a long look at, because I live right outside of Philadelphia. So, obviously, the Temple transfer, you would always see flashes when he was at Temple, you know. And it's surprising with Ebiketie, because he is – I mean, he has really long arms. I mean, he's like 34-plus-inch arms, despite him only being like 6'2 and some change. Like, it's very odd a little bit for his body type. And I thought he has a good first step, but I thought he has some of the best flexibility in this class. Like, I really do think that he has good bend to him. And I think he has a really nice understanding as far as the pass rush repertoire. I saw a lot of inside moves, saw a lot of counters that really, I thought, were put on display. I mean, his game against Ohio State this year, I thought he just absolutely dominated Nicholas Petit-Frere, who is a guy that some people like somewhere on day two in this class. So I like Arnold a ton. I think he's what people tried to make Quincy Roche last year, another former Temple transfer player that transferred to Miami. I think that they kind of coined him as he's the, you know, the technician of the class, you know, might be a little bit of a smaller guy, but just kind of understands the art of the pass rush. For me, that's Arnold in this year's class. So I like him a ton. I have a second-round grade on him. I think he has a very high potential to go early second round. And I even saw – I mean, I saw an over-under that had a 32.5 as the pick outlook. So, I mean, there might even be some smoke to him going late first round. He's had that quite a draft process.
Absolute pleasure, Ryan. Thanks so much. Great work as always.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate you.
Ryan Roberts, Bleed Network, looking at the NFL draft. I told him, I said, when talking about the Eagles, just to pretend they would draft like a normal team. No?
Yeah, that helps. Well, kind of. I like Peter King's mock draft for the Eagles today.
Do you have Mike Mamula?
No. Slightly better players, in my opinion.
Who did they end up picking?
They had Devin Lloyd and Jordan Davis from Georgia.
Oh, Davis only can play about 30 plays a game in the NFL. He's out of shape. Oh, no. Are you watching the Alabama SEC game? He's terrible.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto Home Life Business. Motorcycle, boat, whatever it may be, they'll take care of all of your insurance needs at a time you need insurance more than ever. That is Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. And time now to bring in Mark Wogan, richsi.com. Mark, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be here with you.
So you got a chance to watch all of it on Saturday. So what did you think of what you saw?
I have no idea what I think of what I saw. It was fun to watch. You know, it was fun to watch a practice, especially the last one where they're a little bit juiced up. My favorite moment was looking in the stadium around 2 o'clock, seeing about 50, 60,000 in there. And then turning around, looking at the parking lots and seeing 50, 60,000 people outside.
So yes.
Was, you know, everybody was having a good time. For me, I think the most important stuff anyway came afterward. Some of the interviews that we did with the players and James Franklin. And I thought one of the most telling moments, at least for me, I was fascinated by the way Sean Clifford talked about Mitchell Tinsley, the new receiver who came in from Western Kentucky. The fact that he wears number 5 is just kind of another illustrative note of, you know, a little reminiscent of Jahan Dotson and the fact that Sean has had these great relationships with receivers over the years, with KJ Hamler and the 3 years with Jahan, that, you know, they, I think it was 23 touchdown passes between them. And then here comes another number 5 stepping into that number and that position. And Sean is saying, yeah, they're a little bit similar. They catch the ball, you know, the way they catch the ball, the way they can move, the way they can get open. The quote that struck me the most is when Sean said, they make plays when it matters. And I really took note of that because of who Sean Clifford and who Mitchell Tinsley are, in that they are both football veterans. I think this, you know, there's like their 10th year between them playing college football. Mitchell Tinsley is, you know, went to a community college before he went to Western Kentucky. In an offense, you know, played 14 touchdowns last year in an offense that threw for 6,000 yards, which I think was 1,000 yards more than Alabama. He has that veteran presence, that veteran experience. He knows where he wants to go, what he wants to do. So who does he gravitate to immediately? It's Sean Clifford, the veteran quarterback, knows what he wants to do, where he wants to go. That really struck me, is the fact that those two have really gotten to know each other very well and become, you know, they became roommates, teammates, and they know how important they are to each other for this season.
He's a very soft-spoken guy.
Yeah.
He's a very much, he's an all-business guy. And this move in here is part of him being all business, and that, thus bonding with Clifford. I think I saw in 15 practices, Mark, I think I saw him drop one. One.
He got got that sense from hearing from them. And it shows, if we got that, you know, Sean mentioned that too. And it's very much like Jahan Dotson, that business idea that he's working toward a goal. I think for the last 2 years, I never saw Jahan without a football, you know, off the field anywhere too. That was like kind of a trademark for him. And that says to me that if Mitchell Tinsley is kind of a similar personality, that he has that business approach, that he did his due diligence. He knew where he was going, that he researched Sean Clifford. He researched this offense. He knew what he could contribute to it and what he could get out of it. And the fact that he came, I think, says a lot to the fact that this is Sean's fourth year as a starter, but also his second year. He mentioned this a bunch of times. His second year in an offense for the first time, essentially as a starter. And I don't think you can overvalue that, the fact that he now is speaking the language just out of hand. It's natural to him. So that Mitchell Tinsley noticed all that and came, I think, says a lot for Penn State's offense and where it could go.
He can high point the ball. He catches the ball in front of him. He runs. He may not be able to burn past you every single time, but he runs great routes. He's a real technician out there.
Yeah, there was a third and seven. They ran like a third and seven drill, and I think it was Christian Bayou who was the quarterback. I'm pretty sure it was Christian. Threw a really nice ball across the middle, and Mitchell Tinsley caught it. A little juke, got the first down. And I was like, that's what Jahan did. You know, that's what Jahan did all the time, convert first downs. If that's the play you're getting in Mitchell Tinsley, I think you've done a great service to your program.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's interesting. James talked about this being Sean's best spring. When I looked at Vayu and Clifford, you know, I'm a lot of, like, you're watching guys, C&C, which is confidence and consistency. I felt like I saw that in both of them as I watched the spring. Now, obviously, I've got the advantage of seeing more, but did you get that same sense from everybody and in talking to them, the confidence and the consistency?
Confidence never, that Sean never lacks for that, so I don't think that he certainly didn't lose it, and if anything, he gained it, and that definitely comes from the fact that being in the second year in the offense, that he just knows this now. It's second nature to him. So he is going to be very confident. He looked fluid and natural. I remember watching we were there for the very first practice, and they, the first of the 15, they're just doing simple drop back drills. You know, a drop, a roll, and a throw. And Sean looked like he, is like a, I could compare it to maybe swimmers. Sean had, was a swimmer who had done, made the flip turns 15,000 times, so it was second nature. Christian looked really comfortable doing it. The new guys, Drew Aller and Bo Prabula, looked good, but you could see that they were kind of counting, like almost dance steps, doing 1, 2, 3, 4 in their head.
Yep.
And because that was
mm-hmm.
day one of practice. That was the first time they were doing that on the field. So, there was a natural progression of that, and I saw that Saturday. The one thing I thought with Christian Vayu, especially in the 7-on-7, when they ran that, is that he looked really comfortable with knowing where he was going to go with the football, the way he moved. Mm-hmm. I got a sense I think they're in a much better place at quarterback than they were last year overall, and that you don't feel that if you have an Iowa situation that you are going to have the steep drop-off this year. That kind of one thing I took out of spring and took out of Saturday was that. If you have to go from Sean to another quarterback, you are not going to lose, appreciably like you did last year when you didn't have the experience with it.
Exactly. And I think for Sean there's more confidence because it is the second year. Mm-hmm. In other words, he wasn't sitting in like last spring having to learn everything Mike was going to do.
Yeah.
He walked out there already knowing what Mike wanted to do, and I think that really helped. The two freshman running backs, fans have seen Kevon Lee, they've seen Devin Ford. What did you think of the two freshman running backs?
I looked up at one point and Kevon Lee, or excuse me, Catron Allen. I'm sorry. I looked up at Catron Allen and said, wow, he's pretty sharp. Because obviously, I'm in Pennsylvania, so I know of Nicholas Singleton. And, I'd seen a lot of him, and I'd heard a lot about him, and I know he had a great – and everybody said he had a terrific spring and is going to contribute. Mm-hmm. Catron Allen, looked really sharp on a couple of those runs, had some power, had some burst.
Yep.
I can't take much away from it because I don't know what speed – the linemen were running it, anything like that. So it's all, I think it's all relative. But I noticed him. And that's one thing that that stood out. It was like, oh, wow, yeah, these are two really good running backs. I knew that consciously, but hadn't seen it yet.
Yeah, who else jumped out at you in terms of your stream of consciousness and watching this?
I think, Trey Wallace made a great catch in the end zone.
Yeah, he did.
He got up. And I liked the fact that the scrimmage came down to kind of like a one play. It almost felt like Iowa 2017, you know, play to win it all kind of thing. And Bo Prabula was in, it was the quarterback, threw a nice ball into the end zone. And the kind of like the most talked about young player of spring drills, or one of them anyways, Zakay Wheatley, makes the PBU to end, you know, the end of scrimmage, and that's a win, you know, for the defense. That really, that struck me because that was a very noticeable play at the end. He got, I think he was credited with a couple of pass breakups and things like that in that game. When Terry Smith last week mentioned that he's just always around the ball, and players like that last a while. You know, they play for a long time. And right away, you saw that. You saw that on that play, that he got his nose into it and broke up a touchdown.
Yeah, and Amari Evans, by the way, was the guy that did it.
Yep.
And his foot came down out of bounds. So, and that's how it ended. Obviously, the offensive line is going to be one that people will talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Did you really get any read other than talking to people about how certain guys did during the course of the spring?
No, I didn't expect to either. I think my greatest thing after the game, help me with the pronunciation here. It's Olu Fashanu, right? Or Fashanu?
Yep.
He mentioned that the lineman, that Caden Wallace had come to the group of linemen and said, okay, the word we're going to use this year is positivity, or at least this spring. That's what we're going to do. We're going to think positive thoughts. We didn't have a good year last year. We know that. We lost players. We know that. And we're playing shorthanded this spring. We know all of that. So let's be positive about it. Let's try to take every snap well. Let's try to get the best work we can get in. And let's extract as much out of this as we possibly can. And I think he enunciated that far better than I just did, and that how they internalized that they really took that upon themselves. It was that kind of undergirded their entire spring practice. It was, guys are missing, so I'm going to take extra snaps. We can't let other position groups on the team suffer because we don't have the numbers. So, you know, the quarterback's still got to get their work, no matter how many linemen there are. Same thing. Right. Defensive linemen, they got to be able to, you know, take drills, stuff like that. We can't allow anybody else to get behind because we might be behind. So I think that was a great attitude to hear that they took. But I don't think we'll really know anything until you get the new guys in this summer and until they're able to go through camp and figure out exactly what they have. But it sounds like James Franklin is really set, at least, with three of those positions. So I think it's a pretty good start with Olu on the left side, Caden Wallace on the right side, and Deuce Scruggs at center.
And what helped is all three of those were full participants the entire spring. That really
sounds like they got all, sounds like they got a workload in. So.
Yeah. Oh, they did. No, they got a lot of reps. All right. James gave the split of the reps and the quarterbacks. The offensive line didn't have those kind of splits.
No.
All right.
That would be 300, 350,
probably. Yeah. Exactly. Mark, thanks so much. Always a pleasure. Great work as always.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Steve. Thanks.
All right. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You talk about his interception ratio. You talk about his completion percentage. You talk about his explosive play percentage. I mean, we track it all. We track drop percentage, adjusted drop percentage, all these different things. MAs, we track missed assignments, what we call MAs. So we track it all. And then part of it's talking to defense. Manny, what do you think about the offense? Terry Poindexter. So it's feedback. And I think it's also how his teammates are responding. It's also how he was with the young quarterbacks. I thought he was tremendous. And then what's great is you hear that from the young quarterbacks, but then I see the Prabulas and I see the Alars, mom and dad, and they talk about their sons talking about how great Sean was with them all spring. So all of that.
Yep, it's about Sean Clifford. Look, he was sharp on Saturday, and that's the way he was during the spring. I can't think of a day where he really wasn't. I mean, he attacked it, and he did it with, you know, we always talk about Sean's confidence, but again, you're going to be more confident when you walk in the first day and there's not a learning curve for you on the offense. He finally has that for the first time in his Penn State career, where he's got Mike for the second straight year. That's huge along the way. I know we're going to talk more about the NFL draft as the week goes on. Just trying to prepare all the Eagle fans that, like, you're not going to the Super Bowl with this group. But no, wrong thing to say. No.
Like my T-ball and Little League coach, Coach Tom, would say, you never know.
No, I'm smart enough to know they're not going anywhere. I bet you guys had a lot of trips to Dairy Queen because after another loss. All right.
No, we made it to the championship game one year.
And?
We lost, but with an asterisk.
I'm done. Oh, please.
The team that we played pulled an Astros, sort of. And they had it turned out to be an ineligible player at first base that made the final out. He was like 13 or 14, so he was older. He was like 7 foot tall, and we had a high ground ball to first base that anybody else would not have been able to get, and we had guys at second and third with two out. Mm. I'm just throwing that out there.
Looks like the Eagles are thinking about drafting Ben Simmons. They think he's got the height to play wide receiver.
Cool.
No?
In an ever-changing world, one thing you can always count on is the service at Purdy Insurance. Hi, this is Season. While the world is constantly changing, Purdy Insurance is dedicated to providing you with the highest level of service to protect you, your family, and your business. Give us a call today at 570-286-5855. Go to our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.